Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's
Each week, they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff, too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Okay, here we go. Let's keep everyone nice and close to the mics. What a way to kick off the show. Another week coming at you with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, the host of The Suspendables, and the star of The Suspendables is me as well. And also, I'm talking about my boy, my man, my longtime friend, Rusty Cortinel. How are you, Russ?
I'm good, buddy.
Yeah, how's the week?
Oh, we had a great week. My daughter, Brooklyn, the youngest, made Team Canada, the U20 soccer team.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. I've been actually waiting. She went to Toronto and tried out with 24 other Canadians, and she made it. And so she's going to Dominican Republic next week for a month for the qualifier for the World Cup.
Isn't that something?
Oh, we're fired up. So I might be going to the Dominican in a couple weeks.
Wow. Is that any good? Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Had a good week.
Yeah. Good it's your other daughter. Sorry, not Allie. Yeah.
It's Brooklyn, the youngest
Brooklyn.
One.
Brooklyn.
She's 19.
Boy, your kids don't have a bunch of luck at being successful or anything. Russ, it's very tough for them, right? These kids can't get a fucking break. It's unreal. You know, they do nothing. I'm sure glad I'm not doing this podcast right now with my kids listening. And I kid. I love my kids. Yeah, yeah. And isn't that great? So fantastic. Good. Lots of stuff to talk about. I got my teeth back in, Rusty. Okay.
Atta boy.
Did you have all yours, hockey players? Are you in good shape or not?
In my second to last season, Paul Kariya knocked my teeth out, and the front two, half
Something
of
we've
one.
And, to do.
Yeah. There you go. You can send him a nice note. Hurt like hell. 18 stitches in the lower lip and two. Yeah. It was like a baseball bat hitting you in the face. It hurt like hell.
Whatever happened to Paul Kariya? Do you know any of these guys in retirement? Where they ended up?
I think he lives here in California. I saw him on a flight back to LA from, I don't know where we were coming from, and talked a little bit. I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he's involved in hockey at all, but I'm sure Paul's doing just fine.
Yeah. Who's the most successful guy, you know, Russ, post career, who started doing other things? I mean, you would be up there, you know, for success in businesses that these guys went into. I think Dave Gagne, didn't he go into the outdoor rink business that flourished? I'm trying to think of some other guys. The Rat, Kenny Linsman, started buying real estate when he was about 4 years old. and I think he's pretty successful. Do you know of any guys, Russ? I love these stories outside of hockey.
The most successful hockey player I think I know, I don't know, but I just found out about is Patrick Devoji. He started GFL out of, I think, London, Ontario. It's a publicly traded company, and he is worth a couple $1 billion now.
Shut up.
Yeah, GFL.
I'll give you an interesting tidbit. Because people talk about who are the highest endorsed athletes, okay, either active or retired, and who is it? And this will surprise you, but this guy apparently crushes everyone hands down. And you're talking about Tiger Woods. They're saying is going to be the first $1 billion athlete. Roger Federer, these Formula One guys apparently just make an absolute
There goes the teeth.
There's the freaking teeth. Yeah. However, I think none of them. I read a piece not too long ago that hands down, George Foreman makes more a year than any of these guys from that stupid George Foreman grill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think Michael Jordan
has one, right?
But I think Michael Jordan's got everybody beat from Nike.
Except Michael Jordan, okay? It's,
but George Foreman is extremely wealthy. I know I've heard him on some shows, and what a great spokesman. And but some guys have just done very, very well, you know, post sports, and some bet a lot better than when they were actually playing. You know, they're more famous for, like, this kid, Patrick Devoji out of Ontario. I mean, CEO of GFL, and he's grown it from 2 employees to whatever it is, thousands and thousands of employees.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. When I was in Victoria this summer, I saw his, you know, his bathrooms and trucks all over the city. GFL, Green for Life, I think it stands for.
Yeah, I know that company. I know someone who worked for them. The coolest guy, I guess, I met in person, and I know I was in Malaysia for a birthday party, a 50th birthday party, and 100 of us went over there for this birthday party, and it was from a guy who lives over in Europe. He's got a place in Monaco, and there was a bunch of people from Monaco there, and they were a little over the top. Okay, Russ, a little over the top. And I'm having dinner with one guy, and he's a nice guy, but he's kind of thumbing his nose at me when I said, yeah, well, what do you do? And I'm like, yeah, not much. You know, I'm a comedian, I guess. I don't know. I do what I pick up work wherever I can, you know, and he was kind of looking down his nose at me. And I said, my hair got up, right?
Yeah.
My hair got up. I said, okay, I'll show you what I do. Okay, I'll show you what I do, is I rip people arm from arm, you know, limb from limb. I'm good at it. I've done it my whole life. And so I said, anyway, let's cut to the chase there, superstar. All right. What do you do? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, you better have a good one here, pal, after cutting me up. He said, you know the Keurig coffee machines? I said, oh, fuck, no way. No way. He goes, yeah, I invented those. I said, hey, nice to meet you. You're a good guy. Yeah. And, you know, unbelievable story. Like, he's the engineer behind all the it, you know, and they sold 50,000, right? When he first did it, it was unreal.
Yeah.
It was, they thought they'd sell a few hundred and they'd keep at it. And I don't know how many are sold a year.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, there we go. Successful people. Our show last week, when we talk, we're always talking about evolving the show, getting it off, you know, to more people, trying to include people. We're all about the stories. People love that. And then we thought, well, we better see what's hot every week, Rusty, in sports, because you and I don't watch a bunch of sports, but we want to keep everyone current. And the reason for that is because there's lots of people who just listen to this show and don't do much else. So we want to bring him up to speed, you know, on that. And last week we had on Donnie Brennan, a columnist for Post Media. Mm-hmm. Post Media is, I guess it's print media, would be your Toronto Sun, maybe your Toronto Star. It'd be your Edmonton Journal and your Edmonton Sun, your Ottawa Sun, Ottawa Citizen. And we thought, well, we'll bring Donnie on for 10 minutes to talk about all the current stuff that's going on in hockey. 10 turned into an hour, and
two lawsuits,
which is, I'll tell you what was fantastic. You know, this is how I love shows, Rusty. This is how I gauge them. When I reached out to Don, I said, that was great, right? We got to get you on more often. We'll see what we can make out of this. And the measurement for success is when a guy calls me and says, the things I said on your podcast might get me fired. What? Yeah. Anyway, we bring Donnie back. Welcome, Donnie Brennan, columnist for Post Media. We loved it. Lots of people reached out to me and said, that was a great segment. And I said, we got to hear more from Donnie because he speaks his mind. He's an outspoken guy. And I phoned him. I said, would you do this from time to time? He said, absolutely, Jimmer. Jimmer. He gave me the Jimmer. Jimmer. Absolutely, Jimmer. Yeah. No, and Jungle. He calls me Jungle. So, Donnie, what we thought we'd do today, and we want to, I can say we want to do it from time to time, might be several weeks in a row, might be every couple of weeks. Who better than to talk to a sports journalist, sports columnist, when it comes time to figure out what you're going to write about each week or each day or ever, or how often you do it, to, you know, bring everyone into the sort of current world of sports. And I said, well, let's get Donnie Brennan to find out what he's writing about this week and what are the hot button topics, Rusty? Is that makes, you know, what are the hot topics in sports? So welcome back, Donnie, to the program. How's that for an intro? You're under, you got a lot of pressure.
No, that's good. That is good. And I love the pressure. Bring it on. What do you want? What do you need? Hey.
So what do you think? What's, we got a lot going on, the Olympics, the All-Star game. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I turned that on, I turned that off.
Wow.
I was gonna say, anyway, that happened. Of course, the Olympic. I think it's a big game as we record. Is it tonight, the U.S.-Canada game?
Yeah, I think it's tonight. But I remember trying to watch the Canada-Russia women's game last night, and was on at 11 o'clock. And when did it finally start? Like they delayed it for about an hour and a half while there was some sort of question about the COVID testing of the Russian team. So
right, I gave up. It took about an hour to get it off the ground.
Okay.
So what's big, Donnie? What are you writing on this week? What are you looking at?
Well, I guess this week it's all Super Bowl this week. I'm writing the Super Bowl betting stuff for the Post Media chain, but right. You know, I'm trying to dabble a little bit with the hockey, keeping my hand in the hockey and on social media and such, and expect to be writing a regular hockey column again at some point. And I found a lot of things interesting, and like you said, not the All-Star game. Holy Christ. Right. When are they going to give up with that? I mean, I know it's a fun time for everybody, but is it a fun time for the guys, the people that are watching? Not really. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I mean, I don't like anything about it. Russ, did you enjoy the All-Star game during your career?
I really enjoyed my experience. I went to the All-Star game once in New York City. So New York, my family came. It was good. And then we were starting to make good money, but they put up you won X amount of dollars each player and coach and trainers. So the game was pretty intense for an All-Star game. And whoever won got the bonus. We were leading and I was on the West and we lost to the East, Lindros and Messier. And the coaches were more excited and the trainers were more excited about the cash than the players, but, right. it was fun and the skills competition was great. The parties were good. But it has gotten so loosey goosey now. Like
is it necessary, Russ? Like they get a break, right? Which is,
yeah. I think if you asked any of the players after they've been once, they would rather go on a 5-day vacation than go to the All-Star game.
Right.
So I think your first time it's exciting. And then every time after that, it's like, oh, okay, I got to go to the All-Star game. And all my other buddies are going to Cabo, my teammate.
Who's the winner on that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, what about the 3-on-3?
I thought when they first started that, I don't even know the last time I watched an All-Star game. But when I did watch the 3-on-3, I thought it was good. I thought it was good because there's no hitting anyways. So with 3-on-3, you're skating most of the time. But that's a lot of work for the guys. So I don't know. I think it's a lame duck, to be honest, the whole All-Star weekend after you've been once. I was excited. I got to go once. I remember everything about it. It was great.
Right.
But I'm sure for the guys who've gone 9 times, they're like, fuck it.
Okay. So there it is on the All-Star game. Good point, Rusty. This isn't a new idea floating around that players are like, fuck, I don't want to go to the All-Star game. Donnie, if you were going to write about the All-Star game, what would you write?
Oh, boy. I'd write something to say, let's end this nonsense right now. But, you know, I guess you're looking for stories. And to me, one of the big stories right now, and will be for the next 6 weeks, it's 6 weeks today, the NHL trade deadline comes about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be an interesting time. I noticed. So Claude Giroux wins the All-Star MVP, and he's asked a number of times on the broadcast about his situation. He's in the last year of his deal with the Flyers, and you know, obviously, he doesn't know. He's got to be careful. He's the captain of the Flyers. He's been there since 2007. I got to think that Claude Giroux would like to go someplace and have a shot at winning the Stanley Cup before he's done. He's 15 years in the NHL, so we don't know how much more he's got. But there's some interesting, I guess, rumors. But people talking about Ottawa because he lives in Ottawa and what a young bunch they have in Ottawa, and they could really benefit from his his presence. And I just can't see Claude Giroux wanting to come to Ottawa again. I've been on with him on the golf course. I know how competitive he is, as all guys are.
Right.
But he doesn't want to play in Ottawa. Come on. I can't imagine. It's a nice, right. Sounds nice. I think Edmonton would be a good fit for him.
He'll come to Ottawa after he retires to be the general manager.
Now that I could see. But Edmonton, the one guy that I think about the trade deadline, with the trade deadline approaching, I'm not sure, and I think it's probably a lot to do with the fact that this team doesn't have a GM yet, but I think the Chicago Blackhawks got to be looking at moving Marc-Andre Fleury. And I can't see a better fit than in Edmonton. I mean, if this is the problem the Oilers have, and the Oilers really, you know, what are they, 3 points out of a wild card spot coming back from the break? They need a goalie, and Marc-Andre Fleury gives you everything that you want. He's still solid at the age of what is he, 37 or 38? He's got the experience. Everybody loves the guy. Everybody around him loves the guy. I think he'd fit right in there, and I think he'd help get them in the playoffs at least, and see what goes from there.
Mm-hmm. He'll only piss off two people. The two goalies that hurt in Edmonton.
Hey, Rusty, I was saying the other day with the likes of Tom Brady, you guys, Aaron Rodgers, guys winding down their career. And I said, when they want to go to other teams, part of my take is, don't kid yourself. Weather can have a lot to do with it these days. And if you play in freaking Winnipeg and maybe they're a good squad and you get a shot at being traded to Florida or Tampa, or LA or Anaheim, Rusty, would do you think that would ever come into play?
I don't want a player who wants to go to a warm climate. I want a player who wants to go to win and play in the best place possible. So anybody who wants to leave because of weather, they can freaking have them.
I knew that was a bad take. It was a stage take. No, that was mine. Trade deadline coming up, Donnie. Olympics. Do you cover anything in the Olympics? What are you gonna put together about the Olympics?
Not really. As I said last time, we have 9 post-media guys in China right now. Good for them. Right. I hear from them every once in a while. They're having a wonderful time in the bubble of China. Right. I can't imagine, but right. Glad it's not me. But no, and to me, the Olympics, I mean, once the men's hockey tournament became a non-NHL tournament, I lost interest in it. I mean, Canada, what kind of a team does Canada have? Do they have, I see the odds, and I'm talking as a betting columnist, the odds have them, I think, fourth shortest odds. So they have a shot at a medal, I guess, in the eyes of the bookies. But what kind of a team are they putting out there?
I'm buddies with Bobby Ryan. So he was hoping to go to the U.S. team, and they didn't even call him. Jeez. And he said, I had to Google the players they picked. I've never heard of them. Wow. I can't believe they didn't invite him.
You've been there, Russ. You've been to the Olympics.
Oh yeah. It's unreal. Yeah.
I'll read you a quote, Russ, about this before I ask you, you know, the generic, how big is it to be picked to go to the Olympics? So superstar skier, American skier, Michaela Schifrin, who's been on the podium more times than you can ever imagine. She's the best skier to come along in a long, long time. And she's won medals, and she's back at the Olympics this year. Incredible story, which makes the Olympics for me. Her father, who was her coach and mentor and best friend and all that, tragically fell in their house in 2020 and died from a head injury.
Oh no.
Yeah. Awful story. So you know how good the networks are, you know, doing these profiles, CBC and NBC. So they were profiling her. It brought to tears about it. She's very young. Yeah. But she's a favorite. Okay. And she's going to race in all 5 disciplines, which is slalom, GS, downhill, super G, and then this combined thing that they do. And everyone is on the edge of their seat. She busts out of the gate last night and falls.
No. Oh.
2 gates in.
Terrible.
Here's her quote. Okay, today, because everyone wants to stuff a mic in her face. Very short. I will never ever get over this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you expect from these athletes, you know, it's just another race. Yeah. I'll be okay. I, you know, got to, you know, forge on. okay, you know, failing is staying down, you know, not failing is getting up again and trying. But she says never, ever will she ever get over it. Your experience, Rusty, at the Olympics, I guess it's try and tell us, Russ, what it's like to be an athlete in the Olympics.
It's amazing to hear your anthem and after a win. I played in the World Junior Championships, played for Team Canada and World Cup, Canada Cup. So many fond memories of that. But the Olympics was so incredible because I just never thought I'd go to the Olympics. And then I got picked after being successful with the World Juniors, and my parents went, and it was just phenomenal. And to be in that village and be around all those other athletes and just seeing and watching what they're going through and cheering them on, and you really become a team, a national team. You're cheering on everybody. And then they're coming to your games and cheering you on, and you've just met like most of these people. Mm-hmm. You just came across them for the first time in your life, and you're like a big family. It's unbelievable. And I was getting stitched up one night after the Russia game, and we lost 4-0, and our figure skaters had fallen our pairs. I think it was Underwood.
Oh.
She had fallen. She was on the phone talking to her mom, and I've never heard anyone cry like that.
Oh.
Like an older person, you know, she's not old. She's been probably in maybe 20 or I don't know what she was, 25 or something. But everything she had worked for, it just ended right there. And she just bawled and bawled and bawled. Her mom obviously is probably back in Ontario or something. And I was sitting there getting stitched up going, oh my God, oh my God. Like this, just her entire life, just boom. Over a couple minutes. And right. So it's all like, I can understand why that person said, I'll never get over it because of the, you know, the 4 years, imagine practicing and playing and whatever, but really you're not, it doesn't count till for 4 years.
Yeah.
Like you gotta wait for 4 years. Like you do whatever you do, but then you get there. And so last night I was watching the figure skating and I was like holding my breath going, oh my God, because I've seen him fall. And sure enough, I think the favorite did fall, but she still won. So it's tough, but it's great. It's a great experience.
Donnie, what's the most popular sport in the Olympics in terms of listeners or viewers, interest in what you write about? Do you have any idea what is the most popular?
I mean, it's got to be the hockey, right? But I think that they're still part of Canada. And how it compares to the other sports, I'm not sure, but I think that there's a lot of people in Canada that still sort of tune into the curling. I think the curling you know, and Jimmy watched it a little bit of it last night and reminded me of your days in the Briar Patch. Oh, man, yeah. That was fun.
They were heady. Yeah. And I do a curling podcast, so I know all about it. Of course, you're talking about the mixed doubles.
Yeah.
Is a relatively new thing and Team Canada. This used to be Canada's sport, Rusty, and you like curling too.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs.
Oh boy.
How about this, Rusty? They lost to Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Who just got hockey rinks in the last few years.
Yeah. So,
wasn't it just by an inch too, or millimeter or whatever it was. I mean, they called the measurement. John Morris was pretty, shook up afterwards. You could tell they were wearing the mask, him and Rachel Holman, and, his voice was cracking. He didn't really exactly know what to say. He just kept saying, "We love you, Canada." And it sounded like he was about to say, "We apologize," and which there's no need for, obviously, yeah. But that was sort of the tone.
Yeah. You know, Rusty, you talk about the Olympics, you guys, you know, at least if you're playing hockey, okay, at the Olympics, it's not a one and done, you know, that you get to do a round robin, you get 4 or 5 games, you get to go in the playoffs. It's a 60 minute game, could be overtime. If you're a skier, for example, or a figure skater, Russ, like you said, I guess your coach doesn't really need to say it, but, okay. you're going up to the top of the hill and you're going to race this GS. Okay. This is the most relevant 50 seconds of your life ever. Yeah. Right. Jerry Seinfeld always did a funny thing about the bobsled, right? Seinfeld used to go, so I'm watching the bobsled. Okay. I'm watching this Olympics. And he would turn his head sideways. You go, okay, so the guy lost by 1/1000th of a second, okay? And he placed fifth, okay? And he lost by 1/1000th of a second. And he'd go, there's the gold medal, there's silver, there's bronze. There's the gold, there's silver, there's bronze. He'd go like this, gold, silver, seventh, silver, gold. He'd go like this, he'd go like this, Misty. And then he'd go like this, he'd go, gold medal, never heard of the guy. Gold medal, never.
The Jamaican team.
Exactly. So anyway, look it up, you guys. It's very funny. Donnie Brennan has been our guest once again. Donnie, really appreciate you coming on, and you're a laugh, man. And where are we going to read your stuff, Donnie? Give us a plug.
You know, it's the Sun Chain. So TorontoSun.com, OttawaSun.com sometime, usually. Out in Edmonton, I'm sure they run me every once in a while.
They do.
Yeah. But you know what? I think, Jimmy, I would say Twitter is where I usually put the link to my column. So that's probably the safest place. And it's at Sun, SUNEONIB. Don't I be.
I got it.
How do you like that?
Listen, don't I be.
Yo.
Off you go. Thanks a lot, Donnie. We appreciate it very much, man.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Anytime, guys.
See you, bud.
Take care.
He's laid back, eh? He's like kind of laid back. I'll tell you what. I thought we were going to be in huge shit. The stuff he said last week on the podcast. Go back and listen to it, folks. It was two shows ago, if you're listening to this. And he's cool. He's like, no. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll come on again for sure. So are you taking a picture of me?
Yes, I am. I'm sending it to Teddy Purcell. He's on number 12.
There we go. Here's the other thing, by the way. Okay, Rusty, now that we're on video, I am awesome. Steve has to remind me because I'm in my face all the time, you know? I'm like this scratching my neck. You forget, right? We're on video.
Yeah.
And so I'm a lot of, you know, I've done a lot of damage, Rust, to my nose over the years. I don't know how. Okay.
Talking about downhills right, at the Olympics.
I'm like a boxer. Somehow it just got damaged from some habit I had for many, many years. I don't anymore. So I'm often pulling on my nose a little bit, right? Yeah. I got no cartilage. Look at
right. Either
no
cartilage. I see that.
So what happens, Rusty, is we are on video. We got David, of course, who pieces it all together, does these hilarious promos. And so one guy, Rusty, stops me like this. So he freezes it. My nose, and I go here. Okay, so you're going like that.
Yeah.
But he stops it right here. So it looks like I'm ramming my thumb and my index finger up my nose.
Brutal. Oh, my God.
Anyway. So we'll bring Donnie up from time to time. It was great.
Do you know Chris Potter, the Canadian actor? He's a star on Heartland, the show Heartland. Oh,
yeah. The old guy?
Well, he's 61. I mean,
the oldest guy.
Okay, oldest guy. Yeah, older. And his daughter, Quinn, is dating a friend of mine's son.
Yeah.
And he and I met 20 years ago at a charity event, and we played in a charity hockey game and just had a great time, had him out for dinner. Anyways, he came up this weekend to Sherwood, and we played a round of golf and drank a bunch of wine and laughed and giggled. And so maybe I'll see if I can get him to come on the show one of these days.
Love really to get him on the show.
Really nice guy.
By the way, speaking of the Super Bowl's coming up this weekend, I got a text back, Rusty, from Sean Payton. Nice. And let me just read it. Fuck off, Jim. Oh. No, he's gonna come on after the Super Bowl. He's busy doing a bunch of stuff. Rusty, before we go, I want to ask you about lockouts. It looks like there's going to be one looming in baseball. Lockout here in hockey. Were you playing when there was one, Russ?
Yeah, I was in two lockouts. One was half a year and the other one was 10 days.
I've got a scoop here. What the hockey players are going to do instead of locking out is they're all going to get in a bunch of trucks and they're going to drive to the commissioner's office in New York City and they're going to block all the traffic, Russ.
Those will be nice trucks.
Yeah, those will be nice trucks. Anyway, what's your take on it, Russ? You've been a player. Yeah, you understand business. You're really well-rounded when it comes and realistic when it comes to making money in hockey as a player and what the owners have to do to try and do it. COVID's been terrible for everyone, but money-wise, hasn't hurt the players.
Right.
I don't, you know, no one's taking a drop in salary. What's the reason, Rusty, for the lockout? And is there a good reason to have one at all?
Well, from past experience, they freaking suck because you're fighting for something that is probably going to benefit for someone later after your career, or, you know, maybe you might get some benefits at the end, but you don't get that money back. So that part sucks, but they are negotiating on some future benefits for the players and the owners. So I think some of the lockouts actually were good and needed to come to an agreement. I just don't know what they would need now. The players have never made more money. The teams are never been worth more money, the value of the franchises. And other than the pandemic, hockey was going in the right direction fans wise. So I don't know enough about, I just don't know what they would need more of either side. And so hopefully they have an agreement, but you know, unfortunately, you've got two bosses. You got the head of the Players Association and the head of the NHL. And if they don't have a bit of a rumble in the jungle, what do you need them for?
Right.
So, I think Gary Bettman has done a freaking awesome job. I know he gets booed all the time. Don Fair, is it Fair or Fear, the head of NHL alumni? Yeah, Donald Fear. He's 73 years old. There's talks of him retiring. Hopefully there's no lockout. Hopefully they can argue and then get it done and not miss a game. I really do. Cause I think everything looks pretty good, but, I don't really know the whole story either.
Depends who you ask, right, Rusty? If you're going to ask Sidney Crosby about a lockout, right? He might go, yeah, I'm not the right guy to ask here. Okay. You know, I've made zillions. Or Connor McDavid or these superstars or Ovechkin. So then you go to a young guy. You ask that guy, and for me, the greatest reason for a union in all of sports is to protect the new player coming in, is to try and look after these guys because the it's all top-end loaded, right, Rusty? All the cash, right?
Well, our era screwed the young guys because they were way overpaid. So guys were coming in unproven and making millions of dollars, and it was affecting the teams. So we were, I believe it was our era that put in the salary, the maximum the players could get paid when they were drafted.
Right.
Because it was ridiculous. I mean, kids were coming out of college, they're free. I mean, they're making more than Steve Yzerman. And it just didn't make sense. And the players make, you know what, if you're good, you're going to make it. But they didn't deserve to be a 3-year overpaid player, never played in the NHL. And then he's in the minors the rest of his league, or you never hear of him again. So so that was a good thing. Made the players stay focused and earn it. But again, I don't know what they'd be fighting about. Cause I don't know enough about it.
Well, what my point is, it's tough on it. So you get a young guy say, okay, we gotta make sure we represent here, Matt, you know? But what young guy who's in the league for 1 year, who's maybe pretty nifty with the press, maybe he is a guy you want to be your player rep. And he's going, I'm not freaking kicking up waves here. I've only been in the league a year. Yeah. I'm not doing that, you know? So
no, they never pick a young guy like that. And you got to get up in front of your team and talk, and you got to talk about all the topics and stuff. And a young guy just wouldn't know and wouldn't want that responsibility.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. I sure wouldn't.
No.
Or if they sent me, boys, I'm going to destroy every advantage you ever had.
Yeah.
I'm a great opener, Rusty. I'm the worst closer in the world. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Another couple of greats. We love our golf, Rusty, two really cool stories, in the world of sports and golf. Harold Varner has been a longtime member of the PGA. He's been out there, playing in 200 and almost 300 events. Another guy, Tom Hoagie, 37-year-old, same deal. Okay, busting their asses. Rusty, they won this weekend.
No way.
They both won a tournament over in Dubai for Harold Varner, and Tom Hoagie won the Pebble Beach thing. Anything better, Russ, than a guy like, how much can you possibly take? Okay, how much can you possibly take getting pounded in the face that you cannot win? that you cannot win.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, there's tons of guys, Russ, tons of guys, right? That,
yeah.
Including you, right? They never got to.
I love the underdog story. I really do. And I like the long shot that wins the horse race. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to see when somebody's been playing that long, gets to win and experience that. And, you know, all those players have won, but they won before they got on when they were kids. And then they get in the, you know, they get in the situation when they're adults and they just, nobody knows who they are because they haven't won on that stage. Right. And so it's great to see some of these guys that are long in the tooth that finally do it.
Plus, Rusty, you know, a 35-year-old hockey player and a 35-year-old golfer, you know, 25 years ago, Rusty, you know, you could still hold your own and new guys were coming in. But the new guy coming in now, Russ, okay, has been lifting weights for 6.5 years. He's got a nutritionist. He's got the technology, the stick. They work out like machines. They're, you know, no one did, right, back in that day. So they got a lot of guys coming at you. So congratulations to all. To those two guys and everyone in the big, I agree, Rusty, the comeback is exceptional.
Yeah. So. The comeback's great.
You're off to the dentist.
Yeah. A little clean. Yeah.
Tell him
check on the old teeth.
Tell him get the cleaning done. Maybe get the drill in there, Russ, and tell him to push really hard. Okay. And I'll tell you what, Russ, those dentists are so good right now. You're probably going to have to get a cavity or two. Don't worry about taking the freezing, Russ. Okay. Just let trust me. Okay. Just let the guy do that.
My friend says, he's not your friend.
Yeah. off we go. Here's it. Rusty. You're going to love this. I think you're going to love this. There's three things that are really, really difficult to say. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And Worcestershire sauce. Off you go, Rusty. This has been another episode of The Suspendables. Thanks a lot to Don Brennan. As I said, we're going to bring him on from time to time. Check us out, suspendables.com. And if you want to email us, suspendables@yahoo.com. What a slick. There I go. I finally got it. See you later, Rusty.
Atta boy.
Take it easy. We'll be back next week with another show. See you, Russ.
See you, man.
Thanks for listening to The Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode, leave a positive review, and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.